Does that help? Is that close enough? Okay. All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. I am here by myself. My husband is at Crossroads, actually, this morning. I dropped him off on the way with my son. And I just wanted to share a little bit with you before we'll go through those pictures. I heard you say you were live streaming. At the end of my presentation, I do have pictures of kids that I would prefer not go live. You can stick to me. I love being videoed, and I'm lying. But if you would, for that portion, I would really appreciate that. I wanted to share with you this morning about, if you would get your Bibles or your phone that has a Bible on it. And I'm at the age where the glasses come on and off. Sorry about that. You know, I don't need them for this part, but I'll need them for the other part. I know you're very familiar with this scripture, but Matthew 11, verse 28. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I will give you. Put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear, and the burden is light. Anybody tired this morning? Yeah. And tired, we're not just talking about physical tired, right? There's an emotional, psychological, the whole package tired. I think that's what he was talking about. Feeling heavy, right? Have you ever thought about that? If you're feeling heavy or super weary, that's not God. I'm just saying that because the word says here, if you're tired and carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Put the yoke on I give you, because it's easy and it's light. I don't think he meant easy like, this is a piece of cake. I think he meant easy as in, we'll do it together, right? Because you don't yoke up animals, you don't yoke up a little mule with a huge Clydesdale, right? That's stupid, because that would never work. But we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Did you ever read portions of Scripture and you think, those children of Israel, how dumb could they be, right? What are they doing, complaining, after he just set them free from Egypt, right? We read that and go, how could they do that? But have you ever caught yourself doing it? You go, oh, yeah, that's how. Or the disciples, right? They're watching Jesus do all these miracles. It gets time for, he's ready to be crucified. He's telling them, isn't he? He's telling them. He's going, the Son of Man's going to be offered up to die. And they're just, yeah, we're going to build the kingdom together. You know, they're just totally missing it. You ever done that with the Lord? Just totally missing it. And he's trying to tell you something. He's trying to bring something to your attention for your good, right? As a rescue. And we miss it. Because we have our own perceptions and what we want things to look like and what we want things to mean, right? It's pretty selfish, but we've all done it, right? Myself included. And I say that because we feel like, my husband and I feel like we've just come through, we are currently in a season of rescue. And one of the things that has been standing out to me is the power of pausing, right? How many of you are good at pausing? I know little kids aren't good at pausing, but they're not meant to pause, right? Well, us adults are usually the ones that, actually, kids are good at pause. When they're tired, they just crash. They're done. That's it, right? And then they start over. Adults, though, especially the ones that are weary and heavy laden and carrying heavy burdens, they're not good at pausing. We're not good at that. And one of the things that stands out to me when we're supposed to follow Jesus, right? That's what all this is about. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. I hope that's why you're here. I hope that's why I'm here. It's about Jesus and what he did so that we can do the things that he's called us to do, right? And when we're in Luke 5, verse 15, it says, news about Jesus kept spreading. Large crowds. We even said, oh, it's so nice to be full this morning. Jesus had crowds, unbelievable crowds that would come to listen to him. And he would teach them. And he healed their diseases. That's a church service right there, right? came to listen to him, and he was healing their diseases. And it says, but, verse 16, he would often go someplace, often go someplace where he could be alone and pray. That's the part we're not very good at, right? Now, if some of you are in here and you're like, I have an awesome prayer life, I pause very well, that's really good, actually. You need to teach other people to do that, because that's part of discipling that I think we miss out on a lot. We know we're supposed to learn scripture. We know we're supposed to go and save the lost, right? We know we're supposed to serve, but we're not very good at the pausing and often going someplace to get alone and pray. And so, how many, you know, rechargeable batteries, right? They have a lifetime expectancy, or they have your phone. It's only going to operate, what, for 3/4 of the day if you're using it hard, right? And then you got to recharge it, or it's not going to work. We're kind of the same way. And if you're not recharging in a place where you're slipping away and being alone with the one who matters, it's not going to work. It's called survival. And a lot of us are living in survival instead of living from a place of rest. And so I share all that to say because my husband and I have been in New Mexico now for about, I got to remember how old our fourth born is, and that's how I do the math. Anyway, 18 years this September is how long we've been there. And when we first got there, my husband had grown up on a dairy farm, and if you're a farmer, you understand that work ethic. It's pretty strong. It's deeply ingrained in you, right? And so this was a stretch to move to where we did and learn a whole new way of living, and we felt like we were called to the fatherless, and the Lord kind of highlighted all that, and I'll show you the slides here in a moment. But I say all that to say ministry and work have a way of creeping up on you and consuming you. And it seems right, right? Because you're doing it for the Lord. And yet, there's a piece of you that isn't getting recharged. And therefore, you're not going to give to everyone the way you would like to give because you're not receiving from the one you're there serving, right? It happens. It happens to the best of people. And so, on July 1st, my husband, who is a 6'1" guy and he's not very big. I mean, he had a stroke. And I to this day couldn't tell you why. The doctors don't know why. He's never really had health problems. He has no risk factors. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do drugs. He's not overweight. He's not diabetic. We don't know that there's anything wrong with his blood. And so he has a stroke. And that was a shock to both of us, right? But we've known for years now that the ministry that Brian's a part of, we're a part of, it's on like full throttle, right? It's very demanding. And this is not to get you to feel sorry for us. I am offering like a, yeah, I'm offering you the rescue too, right? Because we feel like that's what this is. We feel like what the Lord has done is a rescue. Because we have been wanting to reset for quite some time. Because, you know, Brian has said, I can't sustain this pace. Honestly, if Brian were honest with you, he'd go back to farming in a heartbeat. Because you don't have to deal with people. You go out and get on a tractor, right? And you just mindlessly do that. I'm not saying there's mindless work in farming. There's also a lot of brains that are behind those operations. But you get what I'm saying. People demand a lot of energy. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. That's why it says he often got alone to pray. Now, if Jesus being God, right? He and God are one. If Jesus, being God, needed to separate himself often to pray, I don't know how we're going to get off the hook of saying we're just too busy, right? I just got too many things on my plate. I got too many demands. I got so many things I got to do. If I had time to do that, I would, but I don't. Something's messed up there, right? And the Lord has a way of rescuing you. He invites you. He invites you all the time. His table is open. Come sit with me. Let's talk together. And if you don't take the invitation, then His grace will come find you, and He'll press the pause button anyway. Right? That's a rescue. That's not, and I wouldn't want you to see that as a punishment or the Lord's like smacking you along the head. It's because He loves you so intentionally that if you're not willing to pay attention the way you need to, He has a way of getting it. Right? So He has our attention. He has our attention. We're asking Him, Lord, what do you want us to learn and what do you want us to know in this season? Because we don't want to miss it, right? So that is where we are presently. We are asking the Lord to show us, what does restructuring look like? What's it look like to live sourced from you, right? So there's a bit of a sabbatical thing that's going to be happening for Brian, which I'm actually pretty excited for, because I've wanted my husband to have this for a long time. I didn't want it to come like this, but you know, the Lord has a way of doing what He does, and I still say it's grace. So if you're praying for us, that would be the way to pray, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and take heed to whatever the Lord is saying in His grace and His love and His mercy, so that honestly, sometimes we make the stuff we can see the goal, and it's the stuff you can't see that's the most important, right? And so your relationship with the Lord, who you are with Him when no one else is around, what you're developing with Him in those spaces, that's what really matters. The other stuff will come, but if you don't have that, what do you have to offer the world? Because they're tired, and they're weary, and they're heavy laden. They need to know, what does it look like to lay that all down? What's it look like to live from the place of, I met with the Lord this morning, and this is what we talked about. This is what He was saying to me, right? So I challenge you with that. If you are not in that space, ask the Lord, what are you asking of me? What do you want time alone with you to look like with me? That's going to be hard for many of you. Sitting still, when it says, be still and know that I am God, right? Some of us can't sit still for even a minute without getting a little antsy. And I would challenge you to press for the more, right? Sit in those uncomfortable spaces. Ask the Lord, what do you want me to know? What is it you want me to know? And what is it you want me to do? Right? So I'll leave you with that. I'll go through these pictures. I do like interaction, so if you have a question you want to ask, it's not going to offend me at all if you ask it, all right? This is our beautiful family, and I keep forgetting it's back there too. That's when I'm going to need these. There we go. So this is actually taken in Hayes, Kansas, because we have two children who live in Hayes. Actually, one of them is going to be moving to Wichita in the next month. We just found that out, so they'll be a little further. I guess this pointy thingy is like a cat toy. Here we go. I don't think it shows up on the screen. Nope. Okay, so the guy in the green shirt here on your right, that is our oldest. His name is Noah. He's with my husband this morning at Crossroads. His wife, Emily. The next one over, who's got his mouth open, kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. That's our third born, actually, and it's his birthday today. He is turning 22 today. His name is Elijah, and he works at an oil refinery processing plant type thing. He's a welding foreman. I forgot to mention Noah works for farmers. He's tech support for agents. And then Emily works at the hospital with some equipment type stuff. And our second born in the white shirt with the green shirt guy holding her arm. Her name is Lydia, and she does nails and all the stuff that makes you pretty. And she is actually carrying our first grandbaby. And so we're pretty excited about that. I am super stoked. Like, I am ready to move. So I know, you can't move unless the Lord says yes. But I'm ready. So if he says that I'm supposed to move closer to my grandchildren, I'm going to say yes. I just want you to know. That's her husband, Ty. And then the one who's got her eyes closed in the middle next to me, that's Mercy. She's our fourth born. She is getting a new job in a preschool. She's pretty excited to be starting that. And then the gal next to her, long blondish hair, that's Sarah, our number five. And she dances a lot, so does the littlest one there. They spend a lot of time at dance. And then Rayma is our youngest. She is actually with us, but she is with sister and brother-in-law this morning going to their church. So, oopsies, didn't mean to go that fast. This is just our last Thanksgiving in Hayes when we had been here. Just to say, the family thing is my thing. That's the most important thing to me. When all my kids are around the same table, I just think there's no sweeter space. So that means a lot. I don't know why that goes so fast. Anyway, Byron Boyd. That is how we kind of got started with the two ministries. Some of you have been out to New Mexico. You've been to Convicted by Christ. That is a recovery church that meets on Thursdays. They have men, women, and children. Byron was someone that my husband got to know via letters, correspondence. He was in prison for 16 years, and they got to writing back and forth, and they met up when he was released, and he got to talking about things that are necessary for guys to really succeed and make it, and he says, we need to start a recovery group for guys who are trying to reacclimate, and he says, what are we going to name it? And Brian says, I think you're supposed to name it. So he prayed about it, and the Lord gave him Convicted by Christ. Some of you have the shirts and everything. And he then had a dream to say, hey, Brian, we really should have a transition house because these guys need somewhere to get their feet on the ground. And you would think we take a lot of things for granted, right? If you're in prison 16 years, think of technology and how fast it's changing, okay? You can get out of jail and not even know how to pump gas because they've changed all the things, you know, that you used to be. You got the pump out, went inside, paid. No, you do all that different now. And so even using a bank card, just how you do your own just budgeting and stuff, they don't have any clue because they haven't done it for a long time. So that was one of the things he was saying. If we had a transition house, we could help guys reacclimate and get them educated, maybe get their GED, because a lot of them don't have their high school equivalent. And so that's how Byron's house ended up coming to be. But this is who it's named after, and we put him up there because Brian had gotten pretty close with him. We were really excited about where the Lord was going with him. And he got into the oil field, and that's not actually the greatest place when you're in recovery. And he got with some folks that it wasn't a great situation. He ended up, most of the guys that we work with are wearing ankle monitors as a GPS type thing. And so he cut his off and he took off. And it ended up the police and him having a little bit of a showdown on Christmas Eve, and he took his own life. And that was extremely devastating for Brian. He was just like, I'm done. I did not sign up for this. I don't know what the Lord is doing, but I'm done. And, well, you've done that with the Lord before, right? And the Lord comes around and says, but are you? Let's talk about this, right? We can keep going. Let me show you some things. So this is kind of a bird's eye view of a Convicted by Christ on a Thursday night. We meet at a building in Farmington that actually Convicted by Christ has since purchased. So they now own the building that we are in. It's three buildings in one kind of thing. You can have up to 40 men, or you can have as few as 25. It just depends on the night. But this is their church, and it's very unconventional. Maybe not church the way you're used to seeing it. We actually did work. They do worship the same as what you did this morning, though. They put the slides up from YouTube, and that's how they do worship. And so there's been baptisms, and they give offerings, and there's testimonies, and so it's a church. This is the ladies' group, and they're kind of outgrowing their space. And many people ask, well, why do you have the ladies separate from the men? We do that on purpose. We have found that people in recovery tend to use that as a hookup station rather than learn about the Lord. And not that they can't ever hook up. They're adults, and if they want to do that, that's great. We're just not wanting to do that necessarily at church. And so we found that just the focus and being deliberate happens a little better if we're not all together in the same room. So we're meeting at the same time, just in separate areas. And that is what they're doing. This is in front of Byron's house. So the transition house, Convicted by Christ started in 2011 with about five men and has grown to what it is now. Byron's House of Hope opened 2018. And right around the time we were in the homeless shelter gave us part of their space and allowed us to be there. And then when COVID happened, and it's, you say that and it could mean a whole lot of things, right? And then COVID happened. And so when COVID happened, they didn't want us in there anymore. And this is the old homeless shelter. And we were able to acquire that building and we moved into there. This, I'm just showing like a, so the guys come in, they are in there for a 6 month period, which is actually changing. One of the changes that is happening due to the restructuring is we wanted to do it before, but now we're more certain, is we're going to make it a year long program. We were finding that 6 months just wasn't quite long enough. Some of the guys did really well, and we do have the best, some of the best statistics in the state. We believe that's because we're faith-based. If you really want to make things work, Jesus is the way. You know, that sounds simplistic, but honestly, if you're going to make it happen, Jesus is the answer. And so 6 months is what they had been doing. Then they have like a little graduation ceremony. They get to share it, convicted by Christ, and, you know, have a cake, and they just kind of commemorate that evening. But we are going to be moving to a year-long program, again, because we think the extended time would be good for the guys who are in the program. It also will alleviate some stuff from the staff, because when you have 6 months seems a little longer, but when you have a rotation like that of guys coming in every 6 months at different times of the year, it can make it a little more hectic, and so that's going to help with the staffing part, too. This just shows some of the things you can read the same as me. I don't know. Some of that writing's a little small. We're just saying some of the places the guides do community service. So Habitat for Humanity, the Echo Food Bank, the City of Farmington, the property itself where they're staying, churches and families. We just have the guys engage in those areas to do community service. So for the first 2 months, they're kind of just getting their acclimated and they don't have a job. They don't look for a job until after 2 months. And they would have a lot of their afternoons would be filled with community service. They also have counseling they have to do. They have to meet with their probation, parole officer, whatever the case may be. And so we will be increasing that, actually. We're finding that there needs to be more time of service, less free time. And did I just go past another one? Yes, I did. They will take the guys on outings as well. One of the things that we find is a huge void in these guys' lives is they have no idea how to do family or community. Their family life would have been very non-existent, honestly. For the majority, I would say 95% or higher, do not know their father or didn't have a father, or if they did have a father, he really wasn't present. Right? So one of the things we want to happen within Byron's House is that it is a family environment and that they have men speaking into their lives. And Brian does have a great group of guys that help him do what he does. Older men, too, which we really appreciate because we need that. We need those father figures that are emulating for these guys what it looks like to be a man who's a father, right? Most of these guys have kids, you know, that they need to speak into their lives and become involved with, and how do they do that? And so these are just some times of, you know, a lot of these guys have never gone camping. No one ever took them fishing. No one ever showed them how to change their oil, you know, those things that maybe you take for granted, and they have no clue. Last year, the church that we are actually originally from, Antrim Brethren in Christ Church in Pennsylvania, came out with a team, and they tore down the old white building that wasn't in the greatest shape, and they built this new building. Guys who are in prison, a lot of them working out is a great, you know, outlet for them. And so we made this into a gym area. So this is where they exercise. This is the building that was recently purchased by Convicted by Christ, where I said Convicted by Christ takes place. It's also where we go to church on Sunday mornings. So that's been a recent development in just the last 6 months that we acquired that building. These are a picture of some of the baptisms. We're actually going to have another one of them coming up. And I think that's Trinity. Yeah, Trinity is one of Brian's right-hand men, and he's helping to baptize the guys. And then I have the group, which there's pictures here coming. I lead the kids group, and that's me baptizing some of my kids. And honestly, Brian's out there because I didn't think I could lift him out of the water by myself, so I was making sure we didn't drown anybody. So we're called Sparks, and my goal this year was to do more activities outside of Sparks and have them in my home and do some more development of discipleship. And honestly, again, don't underestimate the power of just having people in your home and having them around your table, right? Having a conversation with them, letting them see the way you interact with your family. Those are all powerful things that these kids don't have access to, not on a regular basis. So this was on spring break. I took them by myself to the bowling alley, and I lived to tell about it, so it was awesome. And this is in our home. We've been trying to do some game nights in our home. And again, because Brian is there, and we'll make pizza together, you know, have some brownies, whatever. It's not like rocket science. It's just spending time with them and, you know, getting into a little more conversation than we could on a Thursday night just because of the time constraints. So this is feet washing. How many of you have ever done feet washing? It's kind of a lost art, right? It used to be we did it all the time in church. And during the Holy Week, Passion Week, whatever, I wanted the kids to experience feet washing. And this little guy, if you have him in your home, you're going to remember it, and you're going to probably be tired when he leaves. He is full of energy, and he loved this. He thought it was the most awesome thing ever. He wanted to wash everyone's feet. He was offering to wash everyone's feet. And so we just got into the whole thing of what Jesus did and how he took on the lowliest servant's position, and he was willing to get down and wash the feet of his disciples. And it's not like our feet, right? They would have had all kinds of things on their feet, and he was willing to put on an apron and do that for them. And that we do that for one another. That's how we serve one another, right? One of the things that I really want, and I've been asking the Lord to give me just new insight, new ideas, is that the children would have a love for the Word. The Word of God. And we started in Genesis, and we had started going through Genesis, and I think I might have even shared this last year, and you can address a lot of things in Genesis. You can address identity, marriage, you know, things that are hot topics in our culture today, right? What is marriage? What is, can you be a boy, girl, and a cat? I say no. And so we talk about those things, right? And those questions come up. And there are some very colorful passages in Genesis that some of them I wasn't sure I wanted to address with them. We did skip over one chapter. Those of you who know your Bible would know which one that was. But we did do Sodom and Gomorrah. And when we got to the end of that chapter, I'm trying to keep it rated G since we have a mixed audience. But you know what the daughters decided so that they could continue their line. And we had a little boy go, whoa, 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 whoa. That is messed up. And I said, yes. Yes, it is. And so we just get to talk about things that, you know, it's in the Bible. So we're going to talk about it. I do know for a fact what kind of movies and atmospheres these kids are in. So I figure we can tackle what's in the Bible, right? Even if it's rated R, because at least I have them in the Word. So That's what we do. I did camping inside because I am not feeling brave enough to take them all camping just yet. Maybe if I had several adults to go with me. I do have some runners. That would freak me out to be in the woods and have runners that might take off. And so we brought tents inside, and this was for Memorial Weekend, just to celebrate kind of the whole camp, start to the camping season. And they loved it. And then we had a little raffle, and somebody won the tent, and we did marshmallows inside because you should not have fires indoors, because that's a fire code thing. And I bought a little toasty thingy that they could do their marshmallows inside. But it was a really, really fun evening. And honestly, they just love spending time together. We've started some scripture memorization. Actually, that little guy that's standing there, he memorized a scripture, and I have never had him interact like that ever. He got like one word wrong, and someone said, "Oh, he did." Nope. He learned it. Yes, we are going to celebrate him. He's going to get a prize. And so, the other thing that we do, which will go back to where I started, is we have quiet time every week. So we eat with them. We make a meal, and they help. They'll help with some of the preparation, the cleanup, and all that. We have a meal together, and then after we've cleaned up from the meal, we turn the lights down. There's a beanbag area. They have journals they can get, and they're to sit. And absolutely no talking, not to be touching your neighbor. Some of you know that that's asking for a lot, right, from kids. When we first started, we did 30 seconds, and that was a miracle. 30 seconds. We are up to 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Some of you should try that, right? 7 minutes. And we've had kids go to sleep. You know, it's just been a beautiful time. And I tell them, being quiet and quieting yourself, self-control is a superpower. And if you can learn, and some of them go through horrible things. Like, their homes have some really icky situations sometimes. I said, if you can go to your quiet place and quiet yourself and listen for what the Lord has to say, I say that is something that you can't buy anywhere. And so I've been asking them, do you do this at home? Have you developed this at home? Like, have any of you tried this out of here? And they have. There's been a few of them that have. So that is just something that I think I cannot stress enough. In the fast pace of our world, and good grief, we're carrying around, I'm not a huge fan of these, but we all have them now. Maybe some of you don't. But it's like a computer at your fingertips all the time. And so kids are constantly, adults too, you know, just doing this scrolly thingy. You don't even know what you're doing. You're just scrolling. Same with them. And so they are to turn all of these in when we do the quiet time. And if they turn in their devices willingly, they get a prize. So that has helped with the concentration. And I think that's all of my slides. Did anyone have questions? Yes.
Where are you located?
In Farmington, New Mexico. We live in Bloomfield, which is about a little shorter than from here to Salina, but it's in Farmington. Anybody else? Well, our current needs are that we are looking for someone to be a more administrative role at Byron's house, because Brian's been doing all of that, and he really shouldn't be. So he pastors Convicted by Christ, and he's also the director of BHH, and that's just been more consuming than... He would like to be more pastoral, doing mentoring type roles and taking guys to lunch and just spending more time with them. That's kind of hard to do because of if you're managing a couple buildings, you know, in a program, and it just kind of steals away from those things. Somebody's really gifted at that. My husband is not administrative. He's learned to do it, but that's not his gift. But some people are, and that's we would love to find that person. that is more administratively gifted to take some of those things off of Brian's plate. Yeah. And house parents. We've always wanted house parents. We do have somebody there 24/7. We're scaling back on that a little bit because they are grown men. We have cameras everywhere. And you'd be surprised what people are willing to do on camera. And that helps them go back to their parole officer and they are out of the program. So, but that's kind of, it helps, right? So if you have cameras, you can kind of keep tabs on what's going on. We don't have them in the bathrooms, just so you know. And we just recently had an instance where we had a gentleman letting people into the house at night, and that was all on camera. And so that takes care of that. But we would love to have house parents because, again, we want it to have a more home-like atmosphere. We don't just want staff. We want family. And we would love, ideally, if we had our dream, right? We have the dream, and then you kind of scale down sometimes because you can't get the dream, is to have an older couple who would be parental in their presence, not just fill a role, but be very parental and speak into these guys' lives. So, anybody? Yeah?
If a team were to come to do on a missions trip, what type of projects would you have?
Well, with the new building we acquired, it is well loved. There are many, many things that could be done at the new building specifically. It's just got a lot of things. We could just pick a project, right? And so, yeah, that building's been there a while. It's for a roofing fix. They did like 3 different roofs. Instead of fixing the roof, they just built another one. And so there's at least 3 roofs on there. Yeah, I was. I remember. Wow, were you there for that?
It was during the pastor's retreat.
Oh, so yes. Yes, yeah, so our roof at the church, Convicted by Christ building, has leaked very regularly. We've done all kinds of things to fix it. We think it's fixed now. We don't get much rain, but when we do get rain, it's sad inside. It starts dripping on everything. And so we think we have that fixed, but the morning he's speaking of, we had snow. We don't have that very often either. And typically if we get snow, it's gone by lunchtime. You guys want to build a snowman, you better be out there right away. Build it, and it's, you know, going to be gone by 11:30. And so it didn't go away right away, and it was slushy, and it sat up there. And so I was getting ready to lead a ladies' event, and it was just pouring down over the equipment and the stage. And so I got up on the roof to push the snow off the side of the building. And our roof is a little too accessible, and so we have homeless people that will live up there a lot. And so we need to build a barricade to make it less accessible. It's not that we don't want to help the homeless. We just would rather it not be on our roof. And they'll disconnect the water lines to like our coolers and stuff to take baths, and they'll plug in things up there, and you know, it's just not a great scenario. So yes, that would be an example. Did someone else have a hand up? I'm sorry if I missed you. You good? Okay. Well, if you don't have any more questions, I am done. So.